Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we have two lovely guests live in studio.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. Hello. Say hi. So we're joined today by Randy Purcell and Shiston Sigmund.
Yes.
And they are both meditation teachers. I'll tell you a little bit about Randy. Randy is a captivating and humorous teacher devoted to helping people attain more peace, happiness, and success in their lives. He's a BC Technology Industry Association Award winner and the founder of Top Producer Systems, a Richmond-based technology company that he grew from zero to over 400 people. And he's also the president of the board of Unity Center for Awakening, where he's taught meditation and shared metaphysical principles for years. And Shiston is gifted with an ability to help people transcend limitations and find the inner peace and joy they deserve. In addition to a degree in human kinetics, Shiston also has studied meditation, higher consciousness, and metaphysics with a wide range of spiritual teachers, and conveys key principles with a clarity that enables frequent epiphanies. I could use an epiphany. That would be fantastic. So they're going to be at the Unity Center for Awakening on Oak and 42nd-ish.
Yes.
On Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th, they're hosting a Metta meditation retreat, and Metta basically is the loving kindness. So that's what we're going to be talking about today with Randy and Shiston, all about meditation, loving kindness, why it's important. So maybe we can start with a little bit about your story on how you got involved with becoming a meditation teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go first?
Okay, well, Shiston's pointing at me, so I guess it'll be me. I started meditating many, many years ago, and have tried many different meditation techniques over the years. And then when I got involved at Unity Center of Awakening, I was the person, the individual that everybody looked to for instruction on meditation. And we started doing some classes there, and it was very fulfilling for me to help people to get connected to their sort of inner guidance and their sense of inner peace. And I would be teaching classes, and many times people would come back weeks, months, sometimes even years later, and, you know, relate to me that it had made a remarkable change in their life. So that I found kind of motivating. And so over the course of that period, I spent a lot of time researching many different meditation techniques, and we've now sort of arrived at a meditation protocol, which is a little unique, a little different than maybe the mainstream. We are going to talk about Medi today, but what we do, we've sort of taken the liberty of calling Much Medi to convey that it's maybe a little different than just the standard Medi practice that people talk, you know, might talk about or see on a YouTube video, where we really kind of bring together not only core mindfulness and meditation as a segue into Medi, which is cultivation of loving kindness, but then also blending it with modern neuroscience and even quantum physics to create kind of a holistic protocol or way of being.
Beautiful. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Randy. And Shiston.
Yes. So I got into consciousness and sort of meditation about 12 to 13 years ago, just wanting to have a better idea about kind of who I am and sort of the whole human experience. So I traveled the world studying with teachers and mystics and sort of meditation teachers, and ended up wanting to become one at the end of the day. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. And you've been working with Constance Kello
yes.
on inner body meditation as well.
Yes.
So I don't know how that's blending with the Much Medi and the inner body. I don't know if you can share anything about that, but I just thought of the connection.
Yes, yes. Well, what Connie at Namaste Publishing has been doing is kind of really working hard on popularizing inner body meditation, which was really sort of brought to the sort of national sort of spotlight by Eckhart Tolle. He writes about inner body meditation in his book, and there are some correlates in the world. Some of Jon Kabat-Zinn's work under the title Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction, or as well Insight Meditation or Vipassana, also involves a little bit of body meditation. But it's a technique of really focusing, taking oneself out of the mind by placing conscious attention into the body itself, which actually not only slows down the procession of thoughts in the mind, but also actually sort of it can be very fundamental in unifying the whole body intelligence, because, you know, we've got intelligence not only in the mind, but also 40,000 neurons in the heart and 100 million neurons in the gut. And we were actually designed for all of that to work in as a synchronous whole, exchanging information liberally between those three different centers. You know, Shist and I were talking about it in the car on the way here, and one of the points that we said we wanted to make today was the fact that outer development has been proceeding at a phenomenal pace with science, technology, the internet, just sort of the onslaught of information. But inner development has actually not been able to keep pace. So physiologically, we've actually gotten a little bit out of kilter with our whole body intelligence, because the information is hitting our mind so quickly today versus where we're at a physiologically sort of evolutionary sort of state right now, that the mind is actually kind of, by the time it completes sort of a comprehension cycle on one data bit, it's already got five other data bits that are coming at it. So the mind is losing its ability to connect with the heart and the gut. And so what inner body meditation as well as Medi do, and they actually do work together in the perfectly applied protocol. We do inner body together with Medi meditation. We're continually working on sort of strengthening the connection between the gut, the heart, and the mind, so that the body intelligence can work as it was actually designed to do. Yeah.
Beautifully said. Shiston, do you have anything to add to that?
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
that was pretty awesome. So, yeah, and when that happens, our whole kind of way of being out in the world starts to shift and change. Our interactions with people, our family, our friends, the way that we relate to situations that might be stressful or cause anxiety, everything starts to shift. And yeah, it's where we get the greatest transformation. So
thank you. Mm-hmm. I should also mention that this is CITR 101.9 FM, and we're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. And I mean, speaking about staying calm, you guys saw we came in and I don't usually do a lot of live interviews, number one, because a lot of guests are in other parts of the world, but also because there's one studio, it's all very quick. And so today there were technical issues, as you saw, and nobody told me. I just sat down, I had 2 minutes before airtime, and suddenly the computer's not working. Mm. So if you're meditating on a regular basis, maybe you're able to, like, time kind of can slow down a little bit, right? That was not happening for me a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
So thank you for bearing with my panic.
Oh, no, not at all. And you're right. In fact, you know, many people, like some of the best people in sports or business or, you know, various different professions, What differentiates them is their ability not to get caught up in the drama of the moment, but to actually have a moment to actually decide how to respond to a situation, and almost always being you know, present in the moment. Really, what is often referred to as a state of flow. That's the opposite of getting caught up in the drama. It's being just really present to what needs to happen here, mm-hmm. and not any of the implications about what happens if it doesn't work the way that it's supposed to. So, you know, that is the ultimate problem-solving state, is not to be concerned about, you know, the what-ifs, but to be concerned with the what-is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shustin, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I agree with Randy there that, you know, it's kind of like come what may, you've got tools to handle whatever life sort of throws at you. And stay relaxed and calm and enjoy the moment and bring a lot of heart to it. So,
Well, I'd like to get there. I'm still 10 minutes ago going, wah, 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 in my mind.
Yes.
trying to be present.
Yeah. The one thing about meditation is that we tend to think that sort of that peace and stillness lands on us. But what I've come to find is that it's actually just a moment by moment practice. Mm-hmm. You know, life is always changing. It's always in flux and experiences come, and every opportunity is an opportunity to start to embody greater and deeper levels of stillness and peace and presence and mindfulness, I guess, mm-hmm. meditation. So, mm-hmm. You use life as a practice, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you meditate on a regular basis?
Not regularly enough. I practice mindfulness throughout the day, but the seated meditation I only do sporadically.
Yes, I know. Yeah. A lot of people have trouble breaking through, and that's one of the things that we've really spent a lot of time researching and trying to perfect is modes of teachings that enable people to actually sort of have that breakthrough. And one of the types of meditation that we'll be focusing on during the Much Metta retreat on Friday, April the 12th, Saturday, April the 13th, is a practice that we call going into the gap. And in going into the gap, we focus on breathing, but we also establish a point of focus at the end of an exhalation when you've let all the air go, and just pausing for a second and just for a few moments, can be 2, 3, 4 seconds, just listening to silence. And when you listen to that silence repeatedly and regularly, what happens is you're actually instantiating a neural circuitry that is under conscious control to say, I just like some silence for a moment. And it's almost like a computer reset. You know, when your computer jams up and it's, you know, windows are popping up and, you know, it's not doing what it's supposed to, what do you usually have to do? You restart the computer. Well, I think that you know, biologically, sleep should do that for us. But again, because information is coming at us at such an accelerated rate in today's society, I'm not sure that sleep is happening frequently enough for the resets that we need to just kind of clear the deck, if you will, sort of neuroelectronically in the brain, and just say, okay, let's start fresh here. We've had a breath. You know, we're not under life and death threat, which is our evolutionary origins that are always still trying to get involved in the equation and protect us. And, you know, so when you were worried about, you know, the technological setup for today's show, what was actually firing off neurochemically throughout your entire body was the same as the caveman walking through the jungle in the area where last week there was a tiger, right? And you're thinking, oh boy, what's going to happen here? You know, like this could, you know, but the reaction is out of proportion with the real situation. And so what meditation does is it increases the space between stimulus and response. And it allows us to just say, okay, it's going to be okay. Yes, I've got to get to a particular solution here. I'm going to focus on that. And there's no point getting wildly, you know, threatened by it because it's not life or death.
Was I really that bad?
No, no, but I'm really just, no. In fact, you're a consummate professional. You called in somebody to help and they did. Right. And it worked out really well. So I'm just really more for the listener who's out there, because we all fall prey to it all on a regular basis. You know, it can be any number of things. It can be school, it can be work, it can be relationships, it can be all kinds of things. But we're always in a much better position to respond if we have a moment to just choose from a number of different options that are made sort of neurologically or, you know, consciously available to us, rather than going with the first one, because the first one tends to be the fear center. That's the fastest part of the brain, the amygdala, the part of you that tells you to get off the street because that is a bus that's coming, right? That's the fastest response. So the first response is often fear-based. And what, you know, much med is about is you know, heightening awareness. And you're never going to lose that. That is such an integral part of you. But if you can tamp it down a bit in modern day in society, it can make life a lot simpler.
Right.
And it is, I mean, it keeps us alive from getting hit by the bus and things like that. And it is, it's valuable. It's just we can't let it be the thing running us all the time.
Right. Which it is for a lot of people, actually, out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're just running on sort of this kind of, it's fear-based reality all the time. So one thing I found about meditation is that it's actually this, like I said, moment-by-moment practice that you take out into your everyday life, not necessarily something that you sit down for hours to do. That's the only time you meditate. Meditation actually becomes a way of being, where it's like meditation actually starts to do you a little bit out in the world. So,
When I'm meditating more regularly, I definitely overall feel more capable. I have more bandwidth to deal with.
You have more choice.
The world.
Yeah, you have more choice.
Yeah. So we're going to have a break in just a moment, but right now we are speaking with Randy Purcell and Shiston Sigmund. They are meditation teachers for Meditate Vancouver, and they're going to be hosting a retreat at the Unity Center for Awakening on Oak and 42nd in Vancouver on Friday, April 12th in the evening, and then all day Saturday, April 13th. This is live right now, 2019, just so you know that you're not listening to a repeat episode or anything. So if you're interested in getting tickets, you can go to muchmeta.com, and tickets are $59, right, which is pretty reasonable for an all day and a little mini retreat. And so again, the website is muchmeta.com. We'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Given the current political climate and the rising circulation of white supremacist, cis, heteropatriarchy discourse, platforms that extend feminist, critical race, trans, queer, and indigenous scholarship are essential to understanding the global contemporary political, geographic, and social climate. Ignite is a social justice undergraduate academic journal that is now taking submissions for its 8th volume titled Illuminating Discourse. This issue is inspired by Toni Morrison and will touch on intersectional experiences that affect how we navigate the world. They're accepting academic essays between 10 to 15 pages with MLA format. Email your submissions to igniteubc@hotmail.com by March 1st to be considered.
What newspapers and magazines did you regularly read to stay informed and to understand the
world? I've read most of them, again, with a great appreciation for the press, for the media.
But like, what ones specifically?
All of them.
Want to know more than Sarah Palin? Join CITR's Current Affairs Coordinator Alex DeBoer every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. in room 2514 in the AMS Nest to learn best practices for covering local current affairs topics for radio. The weekly training sessions will cover writing for radio, determining newsworthiness, media ethics, interviewing, writing balanced stories, and more.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are joined live in studio. This rarely happens here on Synchronicity. Usually everything's pre-recorded. But we're joined live in studio by Randy Purcell and Shiston Sigmund, and they are meditation teachers with Meditate Vancouver, and they're hosting a live Much Meta Heart Wisdom for Life mini retreat Friday, April 12th in the evening, and then all day Saturday, April 13th. You can go to muchmeta.com for more information about that. If they go to meditatevancouver.com, they'll also find a link there. Okay. So whatever's easier for you to remember, Meditate Vancouver or muchmeta.com. And also I'd like to mention, so tickets are $59, but you guys have opened it up to people who no one has turned away because of
lack of funds.
Yeah. Yes. Which is beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. So did you want to say anything about that if someone's listening and saying, oh, I really want to go, but $60 is a lot for me.
Right, right. Yeah. If people are listening and $60 is a little too much or impossible, there is a form on the bottom of the Much Meta page, if you go to muchmeta.com, where you can request a bursary. And if you just send us a little note and tell us, you know, what you're comfortable in paying, and that's okay, right down to nothing if you don't have any funds at all. Nobody has turned away due to lack of funds.
Right. We really wanted to take away any boundary or... Yeah, any boundary from coming in and actually receiving the teachings and sort of these tools. So
right, right. And Much Meta is really about the development of what we loosely call heart wisdom. And from our perspective, it's part of our purpose to help people connect and get a more healthy sort of orientation to life and to other people, which is what the weekend is all about. And so we're happy the more people go through the program, because it can be quite profoundly shifting in terms of one's perspective and orientation to the world.
Yeah. Beautifully said. Yeah. So did you want to talk about the did you want to talk do guide us through a little mini meditation, or did you want to talk more about the neuroscience? What do you think is more important to focus on first?
Let's talk maybe to begin just a little bit about the concept of I think we kind of almost touched on that whole body intelligence, and you know that was a quick overview. The mind is only a part of the body's intelligence system. There are also neurons in the heart, and there are also lots of neurons in the gut, which is, you know, for time immemorial, people have always talked about their gut feeling. And yet when we get two in the head, eventually the mind stops checking in with the gut feeling. And there should be great respect for it, because a lot of times people will say, you know, I knew going into this, I had this feeling, but they don't pay attention to it. We've come to almost completely disregard it, where I think we need to become more in touch with it, and also with the heart. And so, you know, during the Much Meta weekend, which, as you know, we just indicated, pretty much anybody can attend, there will be a specific set of exercises, as well as teachings that are kind of deep teachings, oftentimes stories, that are really reflective of sort of the universal human experience, that really kind of help bring one in touch in a meditative retreat environment with life. Because much of what we go through is just different shapes and forms of the same experiences. There's the, you know, Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. We're all living our own epic life story. And yet there are very sort of categorizable and definable repeats, themes that we're all living with. And what we're kind of moving towards, if we can kind of broach off into the science piece, is the fact that this thing, love, you know, loving kindness, and loving kindness may be one of the better ways of putting it, because when I say love, we all think of different things, right? You know, some people say, well, you know, I love vacations. You know, I love chocolate ice cream. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about an orientation to life as a whole. And when we study love at a truly scientific basis, there starts to be some really interesting correlations with certain scientific concepts. So we're all familiar with entropy, the coming apart of things. You know, within a closed system, everything eventually breaks down. But at the same time, there's an opposite to entropy, a principle called syntropy, which is the coming together of things. And when we consider life with that, the sort of the quantum physical level, we have this amazing coming together of things within this energetic field, all of these forms arising within the quantum field. And what is the cause of that? Well, you know, I mean, we can try to be very hardcore materialistic science about it, but at the same time, we could say that there's an incredible correlations between the coming together of things within the quantum field and love. Love is supporting the coming together of things. You know, we were talking in the car on the way here about how Steven Pinker wrote in, I guess it was about 2006, in a book called The Better Angels of Our Natures, neuroscientist out of Harvard, and he basically pointed out that today is the safest time in history to be alive. You know, if you go back to the 1100s, 19% of the world population was killed in one war. Like, today is without question, and he's like absolutely comprehensive and complete in this study. It's a 700-page book. It was a New York Times bestseller, but he showed that, you know, the amount of violent death, abuse, et cetera, that's going on today. Well, you know, the media is still pumping it to us at an ever-increasing amount, and because we're a 7 billion population, certainly the absolute numbers are higher than anybody would want them to be. But for the probability of an individual being affected by these things is the lowest that it's ever been in history. And Pinker, who's an atheist, we're not bringing anything metaphysical or mystical to this process, said the reason why he hypothesizes that this has been happening is because that human beings are becoming more civil. They're becoming more polite to one another. They're being more...
Really? This is not my experience.
And
that's part of Much Meta is actually kind of debunking some of the things that people are seeing out in the world
because you're not spending too much time on the internet. Yes. Right. If you're on the internet, you see the worst.
Oh, yes.
But out in the world, we're actually pretty contained and
so what happens if we start changing your perception and your the way you move in the world to start seeing the best?
Yeah.
If we start to shift, you actually end up seeing the world the way that you are. And so when you start looking for more kind acts or loving acts or compassionate acts, when you start becoming that, you start seeing that in the world as well.
It's true. However, this is objective truth.
Yeah.
This is scientifically verifiable data and statistics about people.
When you tap the table, it picks up.
Don't bang the table. Okay. I get excited about this stuff. But you know, the world overall, and yes, I mean, there's going to be blips in any chart, right? Like, nothing's ever a straight line. And obviously, with things that are going on south of the border and what the media brings us on a daily basis, we can certainly see that things could be, you know, a little bit more peaceful. But overall, when charted across huge timescales like 2,000 years, it literally looks like, you know, just a downhill slide. I mean, the amount of sort of real, you know, aberrant behavior by human beings is declining. And Pinker pointed to, you know, increasing civility, the spread of democracy, et cetera. All of these things are resulting in higher states of consciousness on the planet. And so what we look at is, you know, is there a way with technology racing ahead? And this is what's happening. Sometimes people, you know, it's too much for people. So they start responding in ways that are maybe not, you know, perfect for the circumstance. And so what we're saying is, you know, if you go back 2,500 years, the Buddha, you know, defined this amazing innate capability that kindness and compassion, if they are trained in an individual, make quantum jumps in terms of you know, their availability as a resource that can be called upon in daily life.
Right.
And so what we try to do within this short retreat is to sort of open up the possibility for people to understand how these things work and a very simple set of practices that can be taken home after literally a day and a half retreat that, if practiced on a daily basis, make a phenomenal difference in one's experience of life. Mm-hmm. And this is being shown in all kinds of research. The single most popular course at Yale University, taught by a guy named Tal Ben-Shahar, who's a professor of psychology. He did a study, I think it was in 2013, and just 8 weeks of standard traditional meta meditation resulted in significantly decreased rates of self-criticism and depression. So what's interesting is that when you take a look, it all starts with your own relationship with yourself. So if you have a practice that just automatically results in being kinder to yourself, that results in a person who tends to be kinder to others. Mm-hmm. And when you're kinder to others, it's quite remarkable how it changes your experience of life. When you're not automatically judging, when you're not automatically inferring everything that happens as a personal inconvenience, but you're actually able to take a higher, more universal view of your life as you go through it, it just results in higher levels of happiness, which brings us to...
Well, it's amazing how when you become more peaceful, all of a sudden the world looks more peaceful. The whole world becomes more peaceful.
Yes.
So there's definitely something to this.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And we joke about, like, one of the things that pulled me into the study, both at the neuroscience level as well as the sort of meditative, or what they call the contemplative neuroscience, as well as, you know, the mystical sides of these things, was that a guy named Dr. Richie Davison at University of Madison, Wisconsin, has top contemplative neuroscience research institute there, where they've brought in yogis from India, Tibetan lamas, and they just, you know, study their brains on fMRI. And they asked the Dalai Lama if he would, volunteer. And he deferred, but he said, there's actually other monks that have meditated more than me. And if you really want to see the difference that it makes in the brain, you know, why don't I send some of these top monks? And they sent his French interpreter. He was a biologist in France, went to Tibet, got hooked on meditation and ended up becoming a Buddhist monk. And today is the French interpreter for the Dalai Lama. Well, they sent him over to Richie Davison's lab in Wisconsin. And when they put him under fMRI, they were in the control room and they were watching his brain activity, and they had never seen anything like it. They asked him to meditate on compassion, which is a state in which he just went into literally radiating compassion to all sentient beings in the world. And his brain demonstrated gamma brainwave activity that they had never witnessed, so far above that they actually stopped the experiment and checked and double checked all the equipment because they thought it was malfunctioning. But once they confirmed that it was all functional, he then went on and did it again. And the thing is he maintained that state for about an hour. Now, for our listeners, gamma brainwave activity is something that we all experience, but very rarely. It tends to be associated with epiphanies or breakthrough moments. Mm. So, like, you're having a conversation.
More epiphanies is what we want, right?
Yes. Right, exactly.
So you're having a conversation with a friend over dinner, and you're like, oh, I went to this movie. It was starring that actor, and you can't remember it. And for some reason, you can't get it, and you're trying it, you're trying it, you're trying. And then all of a sudden, it comes to you, and you're like, oh, I know who it was. That in that moment. Typically, if you were in an fMRI, you would show a gamma brainwave spike. It's this very sort of excited, happy moment. And what is amazing is that through the practice of meta-meditation, in Matthew Ricard's particular protocol, not just the simple stuff you find on YouTube, there's more to it than that. But when it's practiced for, you know, a reasonable period of time, you actually start having greater access to this awareness of being able to go through life and to actually start to actually experience joy from more subtle moments as you go throughout your day. So all of a sudden, you know, just walking on a spring day and seeing a beautiful flower may capture your attention, and it just moves you at a deeper level than you had previously prior to, engaging in the practice. So it brings a richness to life, an ability to experience joy, an ability to be connected to life in a way that is really quite soul nurturing.
Beautifully said. Yeah. I wanted to bring it back to, you mentioned the practicing for 8 weeks. Now, I had taken a mindfulness-based stress reduction course, and then I took a mindfulness-based self-compassion program, and those were both 8 weeks. And so I was meditating regularly, and definitely life moved a lot better. My mood was a lot better overall. And I think part of it is that when we're just off on our own in our own little bubble, we need a community, right? And that's what Meditate Vancouver is trying to do, is create community. Now, I know you have a meditation group tomorrow night, Tuesday night, also at Unity, right?
Yes.
So you can go to meditatevancouver.com for that, or for the Much Meta on the weekend. Is that this coming weekend?
This coming weekend,
yeah. So April 12th, the Friday night and the Saturday all day. You can go to muchmeta.com. Tickets are $59, but if $59 is out of your reach, you can apply for a bursary. So go to the website muchmeta.com for more information about that. But tomorrow night,
and you'll be joining us too, so
tomorrow night I will, yeah, and for the weekend the next, so I'll be there tomorrow night, and then the next weekend I might be doing a stand-up comedy set, so hopefully I can get a lot of meditation in, and then that'll be, because I get stage fright so bad,
right,
that I forget every, and that's like total fight or flight.
Yeah.
Even just knowing that I'm in fight or flight like the whole day before I have to go on
stage.
And
you don't get nervous live like this.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's different
than people staring at you on But I mean, I still get a little bit nervous from time to time doing the interviews. But anyway, so tomorrow night, can we talk a little bit about, because you are not only doing this wonderful Much Meta retreat, which is, again, this coming weekend, April 12th and 13th, muchmeta.com, but you're also doing various meditation groups, sangha, is it the Buddhist word for...
Yeah, sangha is a Buddhist term, and it's kind of a Buddhist concept. The Buddha said 2,500 years ago, and we're not official Buddhists or anything. No. We learn from those traditions and take a look, but also, look at what actually has the most impact in our lives and in the lives of others that we work with. But the Buddha said 2,500 years ago, there's the teacher, the teachings, and the community, and stop hitting the table, Randy. But the teacher, the teachings, and the community. So it begins with learning things to do, but what is found, and this is actually found in other arenas as well, is if you're trying to get good at something, it really helps to be in a community of other people that are also trying to do the same thing. And that was also touched in the book called The Talent Code, where they found, there was one little town in Russia where there were all these champion tennis players coming from. And it was one coach and, who was really good. But they got this community and they really worked together in a very tight way. And they observed all of these tenets. But the same thing applies to meditation. If you're meditating and you come together on a regular basis with others, and you've got experienced instructors who can, continually add little tips and techniques that can help you get better at it, it becomes a thing for you, and it becomes one of the things that you do. But most importantly, it becomes one of the things that you are. Because as Shiston was saying a little earlier, it's not just about sitting down and getting your meditation done like, it's one of your chores, but it's also about who you are when you get up and you go back out into the world. Because as you go back out into that world, you take with you that little bit of extra space so that you're a carrier of peace to a greater extent.
I want to be a carrier of peace. Yeah. A lot of the time I feel like I'm a carrier of like PMS or something instead of peace. So it'd be nice to be a carrier of peace and loving kindness. Well, it's time for a break. So this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. We're speaking with Randy Purcell and Shiston Sigmund. They are meditation teachers from Meditate Vancouver, and they're here today to talk about the Meta, aka Loving Kindness retreat that's happening this weekend, April 12th in the evening, and then all day Saturday, April 13th. You can go to muchmeta.com for more information about that. We will be back with more Synchronicity pretty soon.
Tune in every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. for the Community Living Show. Join host Michael, Kelly, and friends on CITR 101.9 FM and also online at www.citr.ca for the Community Living Show, right after the morning after show.
If you're one of the millions of Canadians who experience depression, anxiety, or some other form of mental illness, there's a free course that can help. The Wellness Recovery Action Plan is an evidence-based program that works. It's based on the key concepts of hope, personal responsibility, education, self-advocacy, and support. The Canadian Mental Health Association is offering a free 3-day workshop specifically for family and friends. If you have a loved one who struggles with mental health challenges, this could help you maintain your wellness as a supporter. The course runs from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. April 5th, 6th, and 7th. For more information or to register, call Monica at 604-341-6356. That's 604-341-6356.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're joined with Randy and Shiston. And again, if you're interested in going to that retreat, it's muchmeta.com. But what time is the tomorrow night? It's just a general meditation.
Yeah, the open meditation at Unity Center of Awakening runs on Tuesday evenings from 7:30 to 8:30. It's just an hour. But it's a gathering, and we usually do a short teaching, some silent meditation, and then end with a guided meditation.
7:30 to 8:30.
Yeah.
I write that down so I show up at the right time. This will be my first time. I've done groups with you before, but
yes.
not this Tuesday night one. So
right.
Tomorrow will be a first for me. So I'm wondering if you want to lead us through like just a quick 1 or 2 minute meditation.
Sure. Yeah, I'll give one that I think is really well suited to sort of short, busy lifestyle. And this is what I spoke about at the beginning, which is going into the gap. And it's and this can be done. Actually, it's nice if you can be seated and in a chair and relax, but you don't have to be.
If you're driving, please pull over before you do this. Don't close
yes.
your eyes or anything like that. So make sure you find a safe place before we do this meditation.
Exactly. Yeah. So you just find a comfortable position in a chair, not too tight, not too loose. And then most people find it most comfortable with their eyes closed. If you have if you've got a real busy schedule and you have trouble staying awake with your eyes closed, then you open your eyes just a little and just have a soft gaze towards the floor. And then what we do is we just bring attention to the breath and just take a nice, slow, deep breath in. And if you ever find yourself feeling a really significant amount of tension, one of the really scientifically based methods you can use to calm yourself down and just, find a greater sense of equanimity is to just focus on breathing slowly. So you take a very long, slow breath in to maybe a count of 4 or even 6 and just focus on breathing very slowly in. And then release it even a little bit more slowly, maybe to a count of 6 or 8. And you just let it out real slow. And then you repeat and just do, if you're really stressed out, you just do 10 really slow in-breaths and 10 really slow out-breaths. And what this does is it actually signals to the central nervous system, to the sympathetic nervous system, that you're actually safe. Because one of the things that is unique about the human physiology is that you would never breathe like that if you were in danger. So you're actually sending, you're actually consciously choosing to send a signal to your nervous system to just relax. And just 10 in-breaths like that, and 10 very slow, measured, controlled out-breaths will put you in a pretty significantly relaxed state from where you were literally just 1 minute earlier. So that's kind of the fundamental premise of a quick breath meditation. But I'm going to give you a technique that I think if you just practice this one technique with whatever time you have available to practice meditation, it could be as little as 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Or if you want to get deeper into it, you could go 15 or 20 minutes. But the process is, once you've done those 10 really slow breaths, is to relax into a state of just a normal breathing pattern. And you're focusing on watching the breath come in, and you take that in breath. And then when you breathe out, you pay very careful attention. And as the last bit of oxygen, or I guess carbon dioxide, leaves your lungs and your lungs are empty, take a moment to just pause, almost like a freeze frame, and then listen for the silence. And then resume your breath in and out, and as you let go again, pause at the end of the out breath and listen to the silence. Now you only need to listen for maybe 3, 4, 5. Some people go 10 seconds. Depends on, you know, how much breath you've got, how much, you know, what you're used to. It, your ability to do and to listen to the silence will extend with a little bit of practice. But what you're doing at the end of each out breath, if you pause and just listen to the silence, and sometimes in a busy place, the silence can be the ambient sounds. Maybe even in your apartment, there might be some sound transference from the street, maybe from the apartment upstairs, maybe somebody else in the house. That's okay. But just listen to the sounds outside of the conscious mind, which is pretty close to silence in many instances. And what you're doing is you're increasing your executive capacity to slow thoughts down when they're getting a little out of control. So now let's just do that for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Slow in-breath or a natural in-breath, a natural out-breath, but watching that breath as it leaves the lungs, and then a little pause and just basking in the silence for 2 to 5 seconds, and then taking the breath in again. Let's just do that now for 2 minutes. I'll talk just a little bit because we don't want people just tuning into the station to think it's dead. But what many people struggle with in meditation is this preconceived notion that they need to stop all their thoughts. And that is an ideal, and this can be a very transcendental experience when you arrive at that. But one of the things that's most counterproductive in meditation is to have this goal that you're striving to get, because all you're doing is creating a new kind of stress. And so we teach that that's really not the goal. The goal is to watch the breath and to watch the pattern of thinking. And when the mind wanders, to notice, to be separate from the thought itself, to not be completely identified with your thinking, but to be the watcher, to be the observer, and to notice that the mind has wandered, and then to return the focus back to the breath. And so when we focus on the gap and we just do those little 3 to 5 second appreciations of the moment, most people find that the silence and the cessation of thought actually comes quite easily. And so when you practice this for 2 minutes or 5 minutes every day, eventually you start to develop a neural circuit dedicated to appreciation of silence. And intrinsic in that is the cessation of thought. And so with practice, eventually you get much better at it. And it's not that we want to end thought. It's just sometimes we want to reset, or we want to take a break, or the inner critic is prattling on with something that is really not nurturing or loving to yourself. And you need to take executive control and give the inner critic a little bit of a timeout. And so that practice of going into the gap establishes that neural circuit. And neuroscience shows us that whenever we use a neural circuit over and over and over, very regularly, that a really unique phenomena emerges called myelination. And the neural circuit develops highly electrically conductive sheathing on the connections that allow the neural circuit to operate at up to 200 times faster than a neural circuit that is just being created for the first time. So what this results in is an ability to have this ability to slow the mind when you want to, and to go into a more peaceful mode very, very rapidly. And so the gap as a practice, just the breath in, natural breath out, and as the last molecules of carbon dioxide exit the nostrils, just rest in that emptiness and appreciate the silence, which is something in today's day and age is actually quite rare to come by sometimes. So that's a very simple practice that hopefully everybody can take and use going forward.
Thanks, Randy. And I noticed that when I was doing the 8 weeks meditation, for a period of time after and during, I would remember to take a pause. Yeah. And if I started noticing my body getting stressed out, I'd start focusing on my breath. And it would just kind of be like, oh, yeah, I should do this. Whereas the longer spaces between my regular meditation practice, yeah, the harder it is to remember to do that.
Yeah.
It calms the whole nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It calms everything down.
Yeah, I feel so much more calm now from where I was at before. I was like,
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if I ever see you and I'm panicking, I give you permission to be like, say something, Marie, breathe.
something. All right. Back to your breath. Back to your breath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shiston, is there anything you want to add, or Randy wanted to say something else?
No, I think, just coming back to the breath is probably one of the most powerful things that we can do, since we do it all day long. We're always breathing. Most of our breathing is unconscious. And so just kind of bringing a little bit more attention and intention to the inhale and the exhale of our breath can make a huge difference in our lives.
Yeah. And you don't have to wait for, a meditative, appointment with yourself. It's something you can do
right now.
When you're waiting for a bus, you can just take a breath and just really focus on the breath in and out and separate from the thinking mind. And, that's kind of the opening of the portal into sort of the deeper metaphysical appreciation of yourself as a being, is that, we do all this thinking, but there's always this observer in the background. Mm-hmm. And as you meditate, you start to, again, increase the space between stimulus and response. And in that space is your power to choose.
Right. Beautifully said. Well, we're just about out of time. We've been speaking with Randy Purcell and Shiston Sigmund, and they are from Meditate Vancouver. If you're interested in going to the Meta or Loving Kindness retreat this coming weekend. It's Friday in the evening and then all day Saturday, April 13th. You can go to muchmeta.com, M-E-T-T-A, or you can go to meditatevancouver.com and there'll be information there as well. And there's also an hour-long meditation tomorrow at Unity of Vancouver as well. So again, muchmeta.com or meditatevancouver.com. Tickets are $59, but if that is a stretch for you, you can apply for a bursary. And I'm just going to read off the flyer here. If you are thinking you're not quite sure if you want to go to the meditation, you're going to learn how to dissolve persistent problems, use the power of your heart in daily life, increase your intuition, create new brain circuits that make accessing happiness easier, develop laser-like focus, understand the quantum physics behind your thoughts and vibration, shift stories that hold you back. Holy, that's a big one for a lot of people. Learn the art of letting go, also one that I'm not the greatest at letting go, and transform your relationship with life. And you'll be able to remember to just take a breath sometimes, like just take a breath right now. So thank you so much to Randy and Shiston for being with us today.
Thank you, Marie.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I want to send you guys so much love. I'm going to close the show. I'm going to close the show with some Surya Devi. So I want to send you so much love. Be well. Namaste. Chidananda Parabrahma Purushottama Paramatma Shri Bhagavati Same Om Sat Chit Ananda.
MRG Concerts presents pop-punk powerhouses X-Hex. They will be performing at the Biltmore Cabaret with